Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together. Father, we thank you that you are here in our midst. And so, Lord, we ask that as the Word of God comes forth tonight, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to speak to our hearts, speak to our very situations. And Lord, as we receive them by faith, as we receive your words by faith, Father, we thank you that your word's going to produce a hundredfold return in our lives, in our bodies. And we thank you, Lord God, that healing is already at work on our behalf. Lord, we just thank you for every household represented in this place tonight. We thank you that you're doing a new thing, that you're doing a work in our lives. And we praise you for the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's make our family confession tonight. So take your Bible, let's hold it up. Repeat after me, say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's God's word to me.
It's God's word to me.
It strengthens me.
It strengthens me.
It refreshes me.
It refreshes me.
It's medicine to me.
It's medicine to me.
And I love to read my Bible.
And I love to read my Bible.
Amen. I would encourage you to say that day in and day out. Before you get to reading your Bible, just remind yourself that this is my Bible. It is God's word to me. And just say that on a regular basis and watch how God begins to speak to you more clearly and give you fresh revelation in the days ahead. Well, tonight, I wanted just to start off with just a recap. You know, we've had a lot of things that we've gone over. We've had a great time leading up to this week. And so just in recapping, week one, Miss Janet talked about more abundantly. Talked about how we're called to live a life of abundance. She talked about the Zoe life, the highest and best life possible, and it was a great teaching. Then in week two, Miss Joy came in and she talked about trusting in the Lord. One of the things that stood out, she made a statement. She said, healing is the compassion of God. And I wrote next to that, that we can trust him. We have to know that we can trust the Lord. And then in week three, I shared, do you hear what I hear? Meaning paying close attention to what we listen to, because that will affect our health. That will affect our ability to walk in total healing, the things that we take in to our spirits. Then in week four, Miss Janet shared on precious faith. Developing our faith helps us to be made whole. And then week five, Miss Joy came back and she taught on humility and healing. And here I made a note, God resists the proud, but he provides help and healing to the humble, to those who are yielded and to those who are teachable. So humility takes it's a big part in our healing journey. And so, and then in week six, I came back and we talked about healing choices and some of the key points there. I talked about how God is good. He's faithful. He's consistent. And he still today heals all manner of diseases. And so based upon our choices on God's word, we can trust his word, we can trust him, and we can follow him. And then last week, Miss Janet talked about blind Bartimaeus, how faith needs corresponding action, and we need to learn how to receive our healing. And so we've talked about a lot of different things. And so tonight, I really want to look at all of those things and really encourage you in this. I say this phrase in every class, every time I teach, because I truly believe it. It's a part of my DNA and who I am and what I believe. But I believe life change happens in the application, right? I believe that if we don't apply the things that we're learning, nothing will change. We will still deal with sickness. We'll still deal with disease if we're unwilling to make the necessary adjustments when it comes to faith, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to our relationship with God. And so tonight, this being healing class, I'm going to say healing comes in the application, meaning we have to have faith. We have to apply the things that we're learning, the things that we've learned from Miss Joy, the things that we've learned from Miss Janet, the things that we've learned as the Lord has shared through me over the past few weeks. And so my challenge is just ask the Lord, hey, what's one thing that I can take away from this message tonight that I can begin applying to my life? Maybe it's something as simple as, you know what? I have to start believing that God is good and he's faithful. That's a good start, that God is good and he's faithful. Yeah, I know that he didn't or healing didn't come to my mom, and I know that my neighbor died early. I know that my uncle has this disease, and he just lives with it. But you know what? God is good, and he's faithful. And that's action, because what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to choose to believe you, God. I'm going to choose to believe your word. That's an actionable step. But we have to all be intentional about making a decision and applying something that we're learning. I say it all the time, and my heart behind it is I want to see everyone in here healed. If you're unwilling to make the adjustments, you're going to find yourself in this same place this time next year. God wants all of us whole. He wants all of us healed, but we have to make the adjustments. There's this myth that if God wants us healed, he'll do it himself. We have to understand that healing is a finished work. God has already provided healing to all of us, and we'll get into that. And so now, this is where faith comes in. This is where we need to begin believing him and taking the steps that the scripture lays out. And so, with that being said, I want to start and dig into our foundational passages for this semester, and it's found in Mark chapter 5. So let's turn in our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles on the back table, and if you need one, just raise your hand and we can get you a Bible to follow along with us. Okay. All right, Mark chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verses 21 through 34. It says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said to herself, 'If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.' Now while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the teacher any further?' And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.' And he permitted no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, 'Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him, and they entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and that something should be given her to eat." So we've seen in these two instances God's healing mercies in action, and we've learned a lot of things over the semester. Two areas I want to dig in tonight. I want to key in verses 22 and 23, and verses 27 and 28. In 22 and 23, it says, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live.'" And then in verse 27, 28, and it says about the woman with the issue of blood, it says, "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" In both of these instances, a similar thing happens. Both Jairus and both the woman came to Jesus. They came up close. It wasn't a faraway thing. They came up close. They brought their situation up close to him. And one of the things that we have to learn is we have to come up close to the Lord. It can't be just I come to church as a checkoff box or I open my Bible as a checkoff. No, we have to come up close to the Lord. And so tonight I want to talk about what are some ways that we can come up close to the Lord. So I have some slides here to help us. So the first way that we can come up close is prayer, right? Luke 5:16 says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Jesus is our example. On an ongoing, regular basis, it was a built-in discipline that he had. He prayed daily. And so we have to be willing to pray daily. Basically, what we're saying is we have to begin to establish a routine where we talk to God every day. Prayer is just talking to God. Maybe you're like me, and maybe you grew up in a religious environment, and you see prayer as this holy, complicated thing. It's not complicated. I used to think, this is embarrassing, but the first time I started praying, you know, my mom and my grandmother just fell out laughing because I thought prayer was something that I saw on a movie a long time ago, which is not a good movie. But anyways, the first time I tried to pray, my mother said, you just pray about it. And so I said, okay. And I was standing in the room, and I was like, oh, God. And they're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying. And they're like, that's not prayer. That's ridiculous. I said, well, how do you pray? And they explained to me that prayer is just talking to God, just simply talking to God, having a conversation, communing with him on a daily and a regular basis. And so you have to be willing to build that in daily, coming to the Lord and just talking to him. Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, I need clarity. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, and just talking to him. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are good. Lord, how you helped me last time, you're going to help me this time. It's just a daily conversation with the Lord. And what you'll find when you build that into your life, it begins to do something on the inside of you, and we'll talk more about that. So prayer is essential to coming up close to God. The second thing is we need to read the scriptures, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful. God-breathed, and it's useful. I picked this scripture for a perfect reason. When you read in Genesis, when God blew his breath into something, it came alive. Anytime he breathed his breath into something, it comes alive. It says the scriptures, all scripture is God-breathed. When we take the scriptures into us, it's almost like taking the breath of God on the inside of us. And when the breath of God comes on the inside of us, we come alive. And so you want to get the word of God on the inside of you in every part of your being. Now, again, you've heard me many times in different areas. A lot of people have this challenge where they say the word of God is hard to understand. There are many Bibles out there. There are many tools out there to help you understand the word of God. Put forth the effort to find a Bible that you can understand. Bring that Bible with you to church. Bring it to classes so that you can begin learning, and I guarantee you it will begin to unfold and become more clearer than ever. All you have to do is put forth the effort. But I promise you that if you will begin to read the Word of God, it will open up a whole new world for you. You will feel the life of God being birthed on the inside of you. It's so, so, so powerful. And it's useful. God's Word is useful, and we'll get into that. So prayer, reading the Scriptures, and then we don't only want to read the Scriptures, but we want to get the truth from the Scriptures on the inside of us. It's one thing to read something, but it's a whole other thing to take it in and make it a part of you. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, the things that come from the Word. What we have to do is shift our way of thinking to weigh God's way of thinking. And it says, not on the things of the earth. The things of the earth are limited. When it comes to sickness and disease, what happens is we put more stock in medical science, we put more stock in our doctors than we do with the Word of God. The Word of God says that nothing is impossible for the Lord. The Word of God says that Jesus went about healing all who were sick and healing all manner of diseases. Man and science will tell you that there are certain ailments and certain illnesses that there's no cure for. I can tell you this, Jesus has a cure for everything. Amen. The Word of God has a cure for everything. So we want to set our mind on the things above. Set our mind on the Word of God because it's useful. It's useful in this area of healing. And then in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. You want it to be inside of you richly. Maybe you're like me when it comes to Oreos. So I don't like chocolate, but I like the cream in the chocolate. So I like the cream to be in me richly. I like a lot of that cream on the inside of me. Why? Because it's so, so good. The same way, we need the Word of God. See, I had a witness back here. Thank you for that. We need the Word of God on the inside of us. And we want it to be in us richly. Why? Because just like I said in week three, whenever I taught, like when my uncle had technically a broken neck, broken spine, and they tried to tell him he would be paralyzed, what came out of him was what was dwelling in him richly, that by the stripes of Jesus, he was healed. When they brought doctor in after doctor, and they kept telling him that he had a similar injury as Christopher Reeve, and if he moved the wrong way, this is what would happen. He spoke what his final outcome was going to be. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. It dwelt in him richly. That's what happens. When life happens, when the diagnosis comes, what's on the inside of you is what's going to come out. And so that's why we want the truth, which comes from the Word of God, on the inside of us. Does that make sense, guys?
Amen.
And so that's important. So prayer, reading the scriptures, getting the truth on the inside of us. And again, some of these things are simple. Come to church. Come to church. Psalm 95, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." And in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Guys, we were not created to do life alone. In fact, whenever life happens and we're dealing with some things, we were not created to deal with those things alone. God's created us and brought us in and grafted us into the family of God, the family of Christ. We are a family. We're created to fellowship together, to do life together. In Proverbs 27:17, the Bible says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another." We need each other. I'm a living testament of that. For years, when we moved here to the Houston area, at first I didn't want to be around anybody. I mean, that was just who I was. In fact, my exact words, I still remember where we were sitting when we first got here, because I had gone through some things, had dealt with some disappointments when it came to church and ministry and people in general. And I remember telling my wife, Gia, "Listen, I have enough sense to go to church, but I don't want to be around people. And so we're going to sit on the back row. And then when Pastor Allen says amen, I'm going to shoot out the door and get the car. You get the kids. We don't want to talk to anybody." I said, "As far as you're concerned," and I'm talking to my wife, "I'm back row Bob, you're side door Sally. We don't talk to anybody." Well, if you know my wife, you know she didn't listen to a word I said, because she wanted to know everybody. And I thank God for her, because she pulled me in right along with her and my kids, and it was the best thing that happened. They got fully immersed into the church, into the people of the church, and I was hesitant. But my first step, my first decision, was to get involved in a class called Healing Class. And I have never regretted it. It was influential, impactful in my life, and it really helped me. Not only did it bring physical healing, not only did it bring mental healing in some areas, it helped me in so many different ways. And that's what happens when we come to church. God begins to move in our lives in ways that we know we need, and in other ways where we don't know we need. And so you have to be willing to build that in. You don't fit church into your life. You make church foundational, and you build your life around it. And I tell you, not only will it affect your healing in a positive way, but it'll affect your marriage, it'll affect your parenting, it'll affect your finances, it'll affect every area of your life in a positive way.
Amen.
And so prayer, reading the scriptures, getting the truth of the scriptures on the inside of us, coming to church, and here's a big one, serving others. John 13, 14 through 15 says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." We have to be willing to get out of our world and to get into his world and serve others. And you will be amazed how God will begin to work in your life in every area. Healing, he'll bring peace, He'll bring joy as you begin to serve others. I can get into that, but I got a lot more to go over. So prayer, reading scriptures, getting to the truth on the inside of you, coming to church, serving others. Here's another one. Here's a big one. Walk in quick repentance. How many you guys know that we don't always get it right? That, you know, we want everyone else in the room to think we get it right, right? But I was out in the hallway confessing to Miss Joy that yesterday I had a tough day. I didn't get it right yesterday. But when I got home, I repented. Quick repentance is important. Luke 11:4 says, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins." Be quick. Lord, you know what? I messed up. Lord, I missed the mark on this one. Lord, I didn't represent you well today. Be quick to let it go. You don't want to hold on to those things because they clog the flow of God's ability to move and operate in your life. Walking and letting those things go, releasing the weight of it, it's key to a lot of things. And so be willing to quickly repent. So prayer, reading the scriptures, getting the truth on the inside of us, coming to church, serving others, and walking in quick repentance. And here's the last one, maintain a heart of gratitude. In John 6:11, it says, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them those who were seated. And I love this scripture passage because he thanked the Lord. Basically, what I'm trying to drive home is this. With what he had, he still thanked the Lord. In this situation, he had 5,000 people to feed. 5,000. He didn't begin to moan and complain and murmur about what he didn't have or what was going wrong or why was he in this position. No, with what he had, he said, "You know what, Lord, thank you." Even when it comes to sickness, even when it comes to us believing God for healing, we need to find something to be grateful for, something to be thankful for. Gratitude opens our eyes to all that God is doing around us, and it helps us to cultivate a heart that's satisfied but also trusts God despite our circumstances. What are you thankful for? There's always something to be thankful for. Why? Because God is good and he's faithful. And he's good all the time. You know, I grew up in a small church, and it used to drive me nuts back in the day. But our pastor would say, "God is good." And then all the old people in our church would say, "All the time." And they'd say that like for 10 minutes. And I'm like, "Oh, my word." Like, we get it. But you know what? Now that I'm getting a little older, I get it. God is good all the time. And all the time, he's good. We have to remember that. Even in this season of life, when I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I know I'm going to get through it, but I don't know how. He's still good. And so we got to find something to be thankful for. So we want to maintain an attitude, a heart of gratitude. We have to understand who we are also, and we have to understand who he is. This is important when it comes to healing because we have to understand, because a lot of times what happens is we compare ourselves with something that someone's going through in the world or someone who doesn't know Christ or someone who's not living for God and doesn't know the word. And so we have to know who we are. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." One of the things that we have to understand that as new creations in Christ, as born-again believers, things have changed. Like, it's a whole different ballgame. What do I mean by that? You see, we have Jesus on our side. Like, we are in the kingdom. We are members of his family. And so now when it comes to our healing journey, we're now operating at an advantage where those who don't know him are not. We are new creations. We're not bound by the laws of the world. We're bound by the laws of the word. And the word says that by the stripes of Jesus, healing was made available to us. And we have to understand that. And so when someone speaks, they can speak all they want to according to the world's ways, but we're not of the world, we're in the world. Not only that, we need to understand 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? And then Romans 8:11 says, so if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who indwells in you. There's power on the inside of you. The power to heal is on the inside of you. See, a lot of times we come to settings like this and we think, oh, the power's in that man or woman, so I got to get to them. The scripture says that the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells on the inside of you. And so, that's what that card says that you have in front of you today. I would encourage you, let this word dwell on the inside of you. You go and you get a scan and they say, oh man, I see this all over your body. And this is where you say, well, I'm not sure how you can see that because the Spirit of God's on the inside of me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me. You have to have something that dwells on the inside of you. And this is a good scripture to have. You know, several years ago, I woke up and my left eye, I couldn't close it. My face was sagging, and my wife thought I was having a stroke. So we went to the emergency room, and after some tests, they diagnosed me with Bell's palsy. And so I couldn't move my facial features. My mouth drooped, and I had never dealt with anything like that. It was kind of caught me off guard. It was a little frightening, if I'm honest about it. And so I walked around, truth be told, looking pitiful for a while because I'm like, why did this happen to me? What happened? Where did this come from? And then I had to do everything that I'm telling you now. I had to get my faith back up. I had to get the truth of the Word of God on the inside of me. I had to, as Miss Janet talked about last week, faith with corresponding works. And so I said, you know what, Lord? I'm going to start walking this out because I believe that the power on the inside of me is at work, that God's at work bringing about a healing and a cure for this situation. And so what I would do, and I'm a very simple guy, practical guy, I would go and stand in the mirror, and my face is drooping down, and at the time I couldn't smile. And so I would say, God, you're at work in me. The same power that lives inside of me raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Your healing power is working in me, and because your healing power is working in me, I can smile again. And I would take my face and just push it up like this. And my wife and girls would be like, what are you doing? I said, I'm smiling. And they said, no, you're being weird. But what was I doing? I'm taking steps of faith for me. I'm holding on to the truth because it's on the inside of me, and I'm doing something. My eye didn't close, and I would say, Lord, I thank you that you give your beloved sweet sleep. And in order for me to get sweet sleep, my eyes have to close. And I would do this. And as soon as I move my hand, my eye would pop back open. But what am I doing? I'm speaking the word out, but I'm by faith, I'm doing these things. And then I remember sitting there one day, and my wife said something, and I just started laughing, and I smiled. And she goes, oh, you're smiling. And I said, I am? And when I got to the mirror, not only was I smiling, but my eye was blinking normally. Well, what happened? I chose to stand on the word of God. I chose to put some faith in action for me, because they were telling me, oh, this may take years, and this if you get over it, then it's probably going to come back. And I was like, nope, by the stripe of Jesus, I'm healed. I was holding on to God's word. His facts don't trump my truth, and my truth comes from the word of God. You see, there's a difference between the truth and the facts. The truth comes from the word of God. The facts come from man. We have to choose what we're going to live our lives on, the truth or the facts. I didn't deny the diagnosis. I understood what he was saying, but I chose to stand on the truth. Does that make sense, guys? And so we have to know that who we are in Christ. We have to understand that there's a power on the inside of us, and we have to understand all that's been accomplished for us. So we have to understand who we are, but we also have to understand who he is. And I have a slide on who he is. Always remember that Jesus is the one who tasted death for you. He died so you and I don't have to die. We don't have to allow a doctor to speak death over us. You have 3 months to live. Says who? Not my God. He says that with long life shall he satisfy me. Jesus is the one whose body was broken, so yours doesn't have to be. It says he went to the cross. His body was broken, so ours does not have to be. And then Jesus is the one who gives us the victory over all manners of sickness and disease. That's who he is. It's only a small portion of who he is, but that's who he is. But you have to believe that. I have to believe that. And if we'll believe those things about him, we'll see something begin to operate in our lives. So we have to know who we are. We have to know who he is. Then we have to align our words to ourselves and our words to others with the word of God. Focus your words and your thoughts on the things that please and honor the Lord. Meaning keeping our thoughts on healing, keeping our thoughts on wellness, and keeping our thoughts on wholeness. That's where our thoughts need to be. Not anything else. Don't go and check statistics. Don't go and check Google or the Mayo Clinic or anything. Keep your thoughts on healing, wholeness, and wellness. I like to do it like this. When I was dealing with being diagnosed as clinically depressed, I used to close my eyes and say, if I wasn't depressed, what would joy and peace look like? And I would envision myself laughing, free-spirited, having a good time. When I was having panic attacks, I was visualizing myself confident and secure, at ease. When sickness tries to hold you down, what does being healthy and whole look like? You have to be able to see that. You have to be able to focus on that. Psalm 19:14 says, may the words from my mouth and the thoughts from my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my defender. I love that. It says, the thoughts from my heart. Sometimes our inner dialogue to ourselves is completely wrong. We'll say the right things to the people around us, our family members, our church friends, but on the inside, there's a whole different dialogue. If you go back to the story which we started with, she said to herself, if I can simply get to Jesus, I know I'll be made well. That needs to be our inner speak, our self-dialogue. That I know that every day with you, Lord, is good. That you have good things in store for me. That your healing mercies are already at work in me. That needs to be our inner dialogue. You know, I shared several weeks ago about when I was in the hospital and dealing with pneumonia and how that nurse walked in and he started telling me that I fit the same profile as a guy who died in the same hospital, same build, same height, same symptoms. And for a moment there, how I started panicking and freaking out a little bit. And then my inner dialogue was, I don't want to die. I'm too young to die. My kids are going to grow up without a dad. And I had to catch those thoughts and change them. How did that happen? I picked my Bible back up and began to go back into the Word of God. That's how you change your inner dialogue. This woman in this story, it says when she heard about Jesus. So whatever it is she heard about Jesus, she internalized it, and it became her own thoughts on the inside. So we want to focus our words and our thoughts on the things that please and honor the Lord. And then our faith-filled words to ourselves and to others, we have to know that those please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, now without faith, it's impossible to please God. Since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. It's impossible to please God without faith. We have to have faith. We have to believe in him. We have to believe in his word. We have to believe that he exists and that he exists as not only a savior, but also a healer. Like, do you believe that God heals today?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
So here's a bigger step. Do you believe that God can heal you?
Amen.
Because see, I found that people believe that he heals, but you don't know what I've done. Like, I did this to myself, so I don't think God would want to heal me. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God went about healing all diseases except for the ones you deserve, or except for the ones you brought on yourself. He said he healed all diseases, all sickness, And so we have to believe that for ourselves, about ourselves. Your faith-filled words also produce healing. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Understand this, the wrong words will hurt you, but the right ones will bring healing. And so we want to put the right words in our mouth. And so I would encourage you, you have to build into your life, build into your words, what I call a defensive response. Why? Because you're going to be tested day in and day out. How you doing? Well, this is a tough day. Wrong words. How you doing? Well, the healing power of Jesus is working in me today. How you doing? Oh, I had a setback. How you doing? Oh, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. How are you going to respond when the questions come? How are you going to respond when the diagnosis comes? And so we have to have the right words on the inside of us. All of us do. None of us are exempt. We have to. In Proverbs 13:3, it says, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, and he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Now, I get on a whole bunch of bunny trails when I'm doing my studying, and I love that word preserve, and I wanted to see that. Preserve means to keep safe from injury or harm or destruction. It means to protect, keep alive, intact, or to free from decay. Here's my favorite part, because my grandmother used to have preserves. To can or to pickle, but here, look at this. To prepare future use for special use. To preserve. Look at this. Whoever guards his mouth, the Lord's going to preserve your life for future use, for special use. God has something good in store for you in the days ahead. And so as you begin to speak the right things, you're headed for something so sweet, so special. I love that. I used to love it when Granny used to pop up them preserves, man. Those things were like on point. They were so sweet and so delicious. And I believe that God has sweet things ahead for all of us. But we have to make sure our words are in the right place. This story, obviously, is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I use it a lot, whether I teach in here, main stage, in faith school. I teach it a lot. But one of the things I believe big time is how important that internal narrative was for both her and Jairus. You know, we don't talk much about Jairus having that inner narrative when you read the story, but something had to have driven him to Jesus. It says, as soon as the boat landed, Jairus came and fell at his feet. It says his daughter was at the point of death. Now, how is this man whose daughter is at the point of death, this man who's not following Jesus, what prompts him to now turn and to meet Jesus when he comes to shore? There was something going on the inside of him, and I can tell you it wasn't a doom and gloom, a hopeless dialogue on the inside. No, there was something that said, you know what, this same man I hear who's going around doing all these miracles, he can do the same thing for my daughter. That internal narrative is very important. In fact, I believe we all have to have, I like to say, you have to have a song in your spirit. My wife hates it when a new worship song drops that I love, because I will run that bad boy in the ground. I will play it over and over and over. It'll be going in the house. Then we'll get in the car, and we'll play it all the way to church. And then when we come out of church, I'll put it back on. She's like, "Didn't you already start that?" I'm like, "I don't know what happened. It must have rewound on its own, you know?" But it's like I want to get that song on the inside of me. Why? Because it's so important. The Lord will draw up from you out of the pit. He will draw you up from the pit of sickness and disease and set you on a secure foundation of healing. But we have to have a song on the inside of us. Look at this scripture. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me out from the pit of destruction and out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." Now here's my favorite part. In verse 3, it says, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to my God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." God can put a new song in all of our hearts, a new song. And I believe he will. And understand that when he puts that new song in you, your life, your healing story will become a testimony to the people around you and to the people in your world. I asked Alex to come in here tonight to just lead us in a song that you all should know. We sing it here at the church. But I want to encourage you, listen to the words of these songs, of this song, and get it on the inside of you. And when you go to your checkups, when you go to your doctor's appointments, when you feel the pain, let these words come up out of you and help you in the days ahead. The Lord is good. He's faithful. And he's good and faithful for you. Know that he's a consistent God. And the same God who healed Miss Joy, same God who's done healing miracles in the life of Miss Janet, the same God who's moved in my life, is the same God who will move in your life. Amen. Remember when the words came from Jairus' home and they said, "Don't bother the father anymore. Your daughter is dead." How did Jesus respond? He said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." I want to encourage you tonight, no matter what you hear, no matter what you know, no matter what you've been dealing with, don't be afraid, only believe.
Amen.
And trust in the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that it's an everlasting word. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that your word fell on good ground tonight and that you're going to produce, like we said in the beginning, in all of our lives. We thank you for healing on all fronts in every situation. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your tender mercies. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you are to us. And we praise you for that in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearkchurch.com. Have a great week.